everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Passion and Purpose Podcast. And today I'm very, very excited to introduce to you another exciting episode with a good friend of mine, Miss Vicky Burkesell. She's from Australia and she's the owner of Lifetime Stories Photography. She's an entrepreneur herself. So I would give you the floor to Vicky so she can tell you more about herself and what she do about her business. Hi, Vicky. Good afternoon.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure. And I'm sure it will be a fun conversation.
Yes, yes.
So I'm the owner of Lifetime Story Photography, which is a home-based studio in Brisbane. And I specialize in maternity and newborn photography. A little bit of family after that too, because it's part of the entire story and the package. But my heart stays with maternity and newborn. So that's what I would love to do for the next 20 years. Yeah. And I see myself teaching others in when I will be really old and crippled and then staying behind and say, hey, do it this way and do it that way. Because people are like, how can you do that in 50 years when you'll be old? Because having a baby, you have to bend, you have to lift and so on. But nowadays you can have assistants, you can teach them, you can show them how to mold. You have so many things at your hands, like tables, you can lift them up and not... Do not forget that if we do sports and we maintain our body, you can be super ribbed and looking great at 100 years old. So yeah, this is where I stand. I have a home studio in Brisbane. It's in my home. Sometimes I want to have a commercial space, but I love being at home. I just open one door and I go into the other door where is my studio. And as much as I love people and I love to be in between the people, I do love my space. And especially with this year, with the COVID and everything, having a home studio was like a blessing, you know? And as a business woman, and you have to think what are the costs involved in having a home studio or having a commercial studio and what are the benefits? So, yeah.
I think that's the very first thing that interests me when I was following your, you know, your online adventure, because I can see your page. I can see the beautiful, you know, babies wrapping like a burrito. I can see the what do you call it? The back paintings. What do you call it? Backdrop. Yeah. I can see that you're really making those backdrops by yourself. You're hand painting them.
So what's happening when you get into your passion and you discover your passion and we lose it in time or we don't know what's our passion, what's your purpose? And it's a never ending. I'm looking for it, you know, but if you look for it, you'll find it. So you need to try and find it and find it. And I didn't know either until 3 years ago that I really love to do newborn and maternity. I've done photography for my entire life, but not as a paid job or something which I want to do daily. And when you discover your passion, then somehow it's like a field of flowers. You find the flower here and then you go next to next one and then you find another one and then something bigger opens this field of possibilities and you find so many things which you can do. And that's how I've started with photography. And then you see other people. And I always drawn. I always drew dresses and painted. But I haven't done it for the past 30 years because I went to a different path, food engineering, which doesn't have anything to do with photography. Still creating because you create food and different recipe, but wasn't photography. And then when I went into photography, really deep dive, oh, I discovered, oh, stay a moment, I can still paint. And then when the painting came in and I love to do my own backdrops, then you discover that somebody else does something else and you're like, but I'm good at that too. Let me give it a go. So lots of people are saying, yeah, but that's like stealing the work. And I'm like, no, it's not stealing the work will be to take their product and to copy it. Straight by straight, but going and seeing something and getting the inspiration and give it a go and then putting your spin on it, that's not stealing, that's being inspired. And then And then you haven't discovered your thing because you haven't explored it. It's like a seed which was put in the ground, but it wasn't, you didn't put the water, you didn't put the ingredients into it. So you didn't know that you have it. And it's something like you don't know until you know.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, Vicky, because I want to know what were you doing prior to you discovering that you have this, you know, this knack for photography and newborn and family photography at that.
So my background, I'm a food engineer and I worked as a cheesemaker and a food technologist for the last 12 years. I finished university as a food technologist. My entire career was spin around food, but not food as a kitchen. I hate kitchen. I hate cooking, but I do like the industrial part. I love the problem solving behind how to make big quantities, how to, with cheese, it's a little bit different because you work with one cheese at a time. It's a little bit more personal. So I still love the hands-on thing. I always love that part. But also I love to see that the products are going in the market and that I was a leader in my team. I was always problem solving. And this is what I'm still doing in my studio because I have a home studio. I'm always thinking, okay, how can I hack my studio in such a way that I can make it an easier workflow? Same principle like in food technology. How can you make your process, instead of doing 200 steps to that machine and coming back, how can I make 3 steps and coming when I come back, I do something else?
Or it's we
had a restaurant for 6 years, Italian restaurant, and my husband was the chef. And I was on the floor as a waitress and I was always trying to train my staff. Okay, when you go with the food, you come back with something else. So I was always trying to make them be efficient in their work. And this is the same, the engineering part still works in me. So every time I do a session, I sit down and I'm like, okay, what's my workflow? How can I construct it in such a way that I can do it better each time? And for me, like when I started photography 3 years ago, I started, well, 4 years ago, I started with glamour style, glamour and a little bit more sexier mom. And I love that part because I can be sexy. I'm a tomboy, but somehow when I pose somebody, I become this sexy movement and I imagine myself like Cleopatra. And I don't know, maybe in another life I was something else. But I didn't feel it so much. I just, every time after each session, I was like, something is missing, something is missing. And I was part of a group, Subrise Education. That's where I started and learning the entire process of being a photographer. Beautiful education site. And then one of my friends, Romanian friends, she said to me, something you don't really love this thing. You don't, something is missing. Because I was complaining all the time. And in the moment when you complain and you don't find the solution to the problem, it's a problem, you know, it's like you drink the same wine and you're not happy, you know, it doesn't make sense. And she said to me, what do you really love to do? What did you do before doing glamour? And I said, well, I did photograph my son. And I just photograph my friends' babies, and I love that part, but I'm not really sure if I can do this because it's one thing to photograph and it's one thing to be paid to photograph something, you know, it's the work, it's not the same. And she said to me, well, just give it a go, do 3-4 sessions, do some model calls and see how you feel it. And I was like, yeah, good point, you know, it's like, what can go wrong, you know? And I've done the 3-4 session, and in September 2017, they were basics, okay. And then in January, then I joined more groups and I joined more education. I had no idea in 2017, I had no idea who is the best educator in newborn photography. Nowadays, there is so much you can learn online, so it's no fear that you can't. If you put the time into it, you will find the information easier. No brain, like it wasn't like 20 years ago when you couldn't find something, how to do a house or something like this. Now you will learn how to wrap a baby and you'll find the answer.
Or just you find a baby.
Yeah, and find the baby. And even that one is not too hard because people are coming, they bring them. And this is the annoying part because sometimes they don't ask the question. Like, stay a moment, it's a baby. Just ask a few questions, you know, stay closer to the person who is doing that. And I've done the first three babies and it was like, okay, I need more training. I joined online classes. Then I joined a big mentoring class in Italy for 4 days. I went to a workshop, a big, huge workshop. And then at that workshop, I meet all the photographers. Then I follow them. And then through them, I discovered the world of photography. It was like a ripple effect. And in that moment, I realized that there is not one God of photography person. There are so many of us. And then the little ones, the crawlers, the little ones, sometimes they bring so much value to the industry and they have so much juice in them that they outstand the old mentors, you know, because they come with something fresh, something new. And that was the moment when I said, okay, stay a moment. I don't need to follow one person and I need to look at more person and then I need to look into my life. And this is where I've started expanding my knowledge. I was like, no, I joined this, I joined that, I listened to this podcast, I listened to the other one, I joined different classes, boudoir classes, I joined cooking classes just to see what how is their thinking and if I can implement it in me. In cooking classes and especially cooking photography, it was so amazing how they do the setups for the tables and how they get the light. I couldn't do it. I finished the class and I was like, this is not me. I give it a go, it doesn't work. I can't do it. But I still loved the idea and how they make the smoke and how they make the food to look nice and how they make all those little droplets. So the idea of creating in the back, it was still there. And this is where I learned. I've joined sales group, marketing groups, and it become bigger than me, you know? And it's sometimes it's overwhelming because you have so much knowledge and you have to take it, and our brain can't take it all in once. And then it's frustrating. Oh, I haven't done this, or I haven't achieved that. Look at that person. And then they compare with somebody else. But then I've reached the other side where I'm like, okay, stay a moment. I need to take it step by step, you know? I need to, I said last year, the first year, I will stay with my craft. I will nail all the newborn poses. I will go back to the videos. I will go back to the videos from the mentorship. And I've been and I've studied like 7 times the same video. And I was like, okay, why mine one didn't work like this? Why my wrapping wasn't right? And then I went back and then I discovered. And each time when you look at the video, you get another 10 seconds into your brain and another.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then it clicks, you know? But because we are like seeing all this big photographers, you believe, okay, I go, I see this video, I will do it. It doesn't work like that, you know? It just doesn't work. You have to, yes. And I say, I think I dip my toes in everything. I dip my toes in the marketing, I dip my toes in the sales, I dip my toes in maternity, but I stuck with newborns for a year until I nailed everything and until I knew that my light is right. My posing is correct, and my marketing in that area is correct. And now I go to the next stage. Now I know how to work with Facebook. I know how to do the ads. And now I'm like, okay, this is one thing which works okay. The newborn is set. Now I'm starting to work with maternity. Because with maternity, again, I find a little bit challenging as much as I love my images, but when I was doing glamour, I had the issues, the psychology issues with the woman's mind, which is a different beast because they look amazing. You have all this hair and makeup, they look gorgeous. And then you show them the back of images and they're like, yeah, but look at my legs. You know, you have three amazing things and you have one bad, they see the bad thing and they don't see the other three good things. And for me, working with their minds and the psychology of women was like, ah, this is too much, you know? You don't see yourself. And the same thing, like I couldn't see myself. I couldn't see the value. I couldn't see for years that my work is good enough to ask for the money, or my work is good enough to be at the same level with other photographers. I always needed somebody to tell me, here you go, you got an award. Now you can charge more. Here you go, you got a clap from this amazing mentor. Now you can do something else, you know? So I always waited for somebody to tap my shoulder and say, good work. And I, this is one thing which it's always behind me, because my dad was my, it is my backup. And he's always like, do this, you can do it. I go and I tell him, Dad, I want to do this. Yeah, what stops you? Do that. So I always needed a reassurance that, okay, I'm doing the right thing. But I also realize now that, yes, I will take the advice, but also I go and I put my spin on it. And if I feel that it's not right. And this is what I've learned for my son. And if he tells me something, I just go with his flow. And usually if somebody tells you that, or your child tells you that something is wrong, you know, and you need to believe it. So now I trust my intuition a little bit more, and then I do the changes. I do love to listen and get advice from everyone. And like in the glamour, I give it a go. I try it, didn't work. Then I've tried maternity, which I feel more connected to maternity. I love the bump. I love how mom is built during the pregnancy. I love the process after. And then now I'm trying because I really love to change a mom's mind to record this time, to record this period of having their belly recorded. Because the thing is like this, we as moms, we will always have our children in our hearts and we will remember, but our mind, and sometimes I stay and I'm thinking, how was my son when was a baby? And because we work so much, our minds can't remember those details anymore, or at least me. I'm not sure why. Maybe I need to do something to train my mind more often. But we tend to forget the little details. We tend to forget how beautiful we've been with bellies. We tend to forget that for 9 months, we enjoyed all those, the heartbeats. We forget that we recorded every week the growth of our belly. We forgot that this week we put it a card, it's a watermelon, next week was a peanut, whatever. And you forget this, and then you reach in life when something bad happens, like the child is naughty, or I don't know, he breaks a leg or something like that. And then these memories are the only thing which will take you back and saying, yeah, but it's my baby, you know, it's my bond. And even if he goes in Honolulu and he gets a girlfriend there, you still have these memories and say, he's with me forever. You know, I have this special bond, which will go on and on and on. And now with the new research, it says that the bond between mom and baby goes to the next generation, then, and that the grandmother pass all that bond in between you and the baby. So the photographs, and I'm trying to push moms to do that this period of time, because it's so short and you tend to forget it after that because other things, they come into your life. And then you have a stage in life when you see somebody else who's done a maternity photo shoot and you are like, oh, I wish I have done mine.
Yes, like I want to get pregnant again when I saw your
yeah. It's finished, it's gone, you can't turn back the time. And I always say, look, a phone you can buy it tomorrow if you drop it in the toilet, and you can buy it in 10 years. Doesn't really matter, you know? But these images, the most important times in your life, you can't turn them back. And the memories and the images will be the only thing which will give you a reminder. I always say you have about three options in life to leave something behind. It's planting a tree, because you leave something for your children, grandchildren, taking care of water as much as we can nowadays. Memories, leaving something which in 20, 50, 70 years your grandchildren can go back and say, this was my grandmother, this was my mother, this is where I got my dimples from, look at my eyebrows, they look like my dad, or I was a baby and I was in my dad's hands and I was this tiny.
A tiny.
And try to fit a baby in here and then in 20 years say, dad, hold the hands like this. How do they fit in there? You know, because you can't imagine, was I this small? And you was, but then you grew up like 2 meters tall and you are like, how? And I'm trying to change mom's mind. Oh, my light has gone bonker. Can you still see me?
Yes, better. Still beautiful. That's better.
I'm trying to follow my light. Follow the light.
There, perfect.
Yeah, so I'm trying to convince mom to get the opportunity to get in front of the camera in this short period of time and to forget that thing that, oh, I need something for my kids later. You know, you don't need anything for your kids later besides love and time if you want to give them. That's the only thing what they need. But they will need you later. They will need you to see that you've been in their life later. They will need to see that you've been, and the dad especially, they've been to the maternity process, because it's not only mom. The kids, they need to see a picture of mom and dad in their home. And when they come in their home, they say, oh, this is my house, you know? This is my parents, you know? I think having a picture of mom and dad on your hallway or your living room is the most amazing thing, and it's something which glues the family together. And you see the babies, because I have lots of pictures on my fridge, and they don't need to be professional. Your iPhone pictures, day-to-day life, are amazing if you stick them here and there, because then the baby and your child will be like, oh, I played in the mud when I was 6 months old, you know, or I've done this with you, or I've done this with dad. And then having a beautiful image of the family on the wall, they will be like, this is my family, this is my legacy, you know? Because we don't tend to, now, we don't have anymore a logo for the family, you know?
The family crest.
Yes, we don't have it that anymore. It's lost because we are quite, everyone is equal. Or whoever has one is like, oh, look at him, he's pushing it in front, you know, it's like having a car and you bling it, you know. But when you have it in your home, you know, okay, this is my place, this is my home, and it's different. So I'm trying to push moms to get in front of the camera more often. And this year, I'm trying to, this is my goal for this year, to bring moms and their bellies in front of my camera and record it.
Yes, actually, that is your unique selling proposition, you know, because there are so many photographers out there. And I thought before that when you're a photographer, you can take pictures of anybody, of any event. And I didn't realize that photography has their own niches. I didn't realize there before back then that, you know, you can just photograph, let's say, nature, the beaches, the mountaintops. And then there are photographers that are specialized in weddings. Yes. And with you, you're the lifetime, lifetime stories photography. You had this certain niche that people would really need, families need. Because when I told you, remember, I want to get pregnant again, because I saw how beautiful those mommy bellies were and those babies. I want to go back in time and I wanted to, you know, take a picture of my baby when she was like very little and her dad was like holding her. And I lost that opportunity. And with you, I can see how amazing you feel. I can see the excitement in you. I can feel it right now. You know, I'm from the Philippines, you're in Australia, and we're miles apart, and I can feel your excitement. And that's what I want our audience to feel, like, you know, when they finally find that something that would make them feel do it every day and still not feel, you know, tired and still get excited. It's there. How did you transition? Are you still working right now, or you're doing day job?
So I'm still doing my it's kind of starting to be a little bit part-time now. This year, at least, it will be a little bit part-time because I'm taking one day off, so I'll be only 3 days off in my role because I want to focus on my sons. He starts school, so I want to be a little bit home with him too. And somehow in life, you need to do compromises. But because I'm a food engineer and because I like a little bit of plan and then a backup plan, and then the third plan is like go with the flow, then I plan in such a way that when he will start school, I will be one day less and I will do one more day in photography, and then I will be a little bit more home with him, homework and all this stuff. So for the next 2 years, I will go part-time and then I'll try to get out of this. And this is how I'm a little bit more security person. I like to have my base sorted. I have to have an escape plan. And then if something doesn't work well, I do have something to pull
like
in.
Plan B, yeah.
Yeah, plan B. And then, I jump in straight away. I'm like, okay, I've seen this newborn. I want to do that. Okay, how do I do it? How long does it take me? If it doesn't work, what else can I do? I'm a thinker and a plan strategist. But also I know that if it doesn't work. It's okay. It's totally okay. Something which I've learned here in South Australia and in the South Asia compared with Romania. In Romania, you have to stick with the same job forever.
Sad.
Yeah, in Romania, you went as an engineer, you die as an engineer in a food factory or whatever. But here, though, and this is where open your mind, and I always said if I was staying in Romania, my mind will have been like Romanian. A little bit more open now because the borders have opened and we can travel in Romania and so on. But the mentality will have still have been the one from there, where you go to work, you if you like it, you don't like it, you still have to do the job and then go home and so on. But coming here in Australia and New Zealand, because I lived in New Zealand for about 12 years, the fact that a woman can do whatever she wants, that
yes.
was an impact on me, yeah. And my husband, he's not, hey, mommy.
Mommy?
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
Yes, but now let me talk and then.
Hi, handsome.
Okay, say hi.
After this, we can
yes.
go to
oh.
gym.
Yeah, say bye.
He's okay. so handsome.
Ciao, ciao. No more, go.
I
go in your room.
Ciao, ciao.
Okay, say ciao, ciao. Okay, go, bye. he's dead. Don't let him out. Yeah.
It's okay, no problem. He's so cute. I won't edit that, don't worry.
You can leave it, I don't mind. This is life, you know? And talking about my husband, he's super like, okay, what do you want to do? That. Okay, go and do it. He knows that I can do it and I can do my plans. And he's just behind to give me the okays. And if I need him to do something, change this or break a wall, he does it for me.
Yeah.
So we've changed a lot in the studio. So, and the good part that he grew up outside Romania, he's Italian, and he was always pushing, go and do that. Because 12 years ago, I had no English, how I like
really?
To say. Yeah, no, I when I moved in New Zealand, I didn't know any English. I was a super nice Christian girl. Then we landed up in New Zealand, and then the impact of a woman being bossy and the woman being the boss and doing that, it hit me. And I was in those positions when I was a little bit bullied and I really didn't know how to behave. And I was like, I didn't know how to act. And then my husband was like, no, you have to step on. You have to be tough. You need to swear. And then I started.
You need to swear.
Well, he was like, man, if you don't step and if you don't, you're not firm and if you don't say something bad, like they tell you to you,
yes,
they will stomp on you. And yeah. then I started, and because I work in an environment with men where every single word was the F word, I just engulf it. and then I've changed my job because I was working on the floor with them, and then I've changed my job in the office and I started losing the bad words. I still use them if I have to, but I've learned English, and it took me about, I think until I moved in Australia 12 years, it took me to forget that I have an accent and to enjoy how I hear my
conversing,
voice.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've done Toastmaster to be more confident.
Oh.
I always loved the people, but I was shy. The accent was like, I can't talk. I speak bad English.
The accent was great. It makes you look sexy.
Yeah, I've heard it only when I came in Australia. So when I came in Australia and the photography world opened to me and everybody was saying, but you have a beautiful accent, but you have a beautiful accent. Then I said, oh, maybe I have a beautiful accent. And only in Australia, after being in New Zealand, where the people in New Zealand are beautiful, but when you work, it can be a little bit more... And sometimes when you're becoming a little bit in a power role, then people are like picking up on things
yes.
which you don't have, especially my accent and my English was the easiest way to pick up. And even now when I go to a job interview, they come, oh, you know the English. And I'm like, man, I'm a bloody immigrant. Pick up on things like you don't know how to implement this thing. Like, be practical. Don't pick up on my accent. I will never lose it. It's with me forever, you know?
That's correct.
You can pick up on things which, yeah, you don't know how to do this project or you haven't done it right. Proper things, you know? But I'm like, if you pick up on my accent, you are worse than me, you know? You should be above my accent, because an accent doesn't make a person. Yes, it makes it. Maybe it that's me with my accent.
You add the color to it too.
Exactly. And you can, and I was like, whatever. When somebody picks up on my accent, I'm like, okay, we are at two different levels. You have to really grow and not to pick up on somebody's culture, on somebody's accent.
That's right.
Or the fact that it's a woman or a man. And this is when I hear the people in politics, oh, women can't do this. Wait for it, you know? And I
hate them when they say that. Oh, watch me.
I don't even say watch me. Wait for it.
Just wait for it. Yeah,
wait for it. You know? I don't even waste my time. I'm like, scroll, move on, you know? It's like... it's waste of my energy, you know. Then when I arrived in New Zealand, in Australia, I discovered that, oh, stay a moment, I can do this. I can have my own business. I can do that.
Yes.
And then I've joined. It's interesting. And I always say to people, you know, until you find your passion, how do you find your passion? You need to try it.
Yes.
And I say to my son, he's like, I don't like veggies. I'm like, did you ever try it? No. Then stick it in your mouth and then spew it back. And if somebody tells me, oh, but you don't run a business like that. Did you ever had a business? Did you ever failed at the business? Did you even give it a go to the MLM industry?
Oh, did you?
I did. And I
did.
I tried. It's not my thing. I move
yes.
on. I clap the ladies because they are
That's
doing
right.
a brilliant job.
Yes.
Just imagine for somebody to have the guts to
yes.
call 20 people and like being
every day
on the call every day and saying, oh, you idiot, or somebody to say something bad. And
right.
She still pushes to the next. I'm like, that's resilience, you know,
that's
it's
right.
amazing. But also beyond that, she doesn't stay home and it's waiting for the money to come from the sky. She
That's
is
right.
doing something. MLM, I don't care. She is doing something. She is running her business, little business, exactly like going and making jam and lemonade at the market. You are doing something. In the moment when you sit on the couch and watch TV or YouTube all day long and you don't give nothing bad, okay. I shut down my shop because we don't have what to talk, you know? It's you do nothing and you can't judge somebody who is doing a little bit more than you. And this is what I've tried. And this is my, I've had restaurants. I've had the food engineering. I've tried the MLM. Now I try photography. If in 20 years I change my mind, it's okay. No drama. I will change
yes.
it. you just need to give it a go. And then, of course, you need to record your transition and to see, because if you do the same thing every day and doesn't give you a result or a change, something is not right.
Yes.
Or not your thing, or you need to invest more into education, or somebody needs to come to help you. So you need to do changes. Like our restaurant, after 6 years, we've been good, but we didn't manage to grow. I couldn't see myself as a family in a restaurant running until 12 o'clock in the nighttime. So I needed a change. The restaurant teach me so many things. And I said to my husband, we need to change. We need to finish this one because I can't do it. I can't do it with a child, you know. I wanted a family life. So we've changed and we came here in Australia. And then I was like, yeah, I do my food technology part, no problem. And then I discovered that, ooh, I really love, I love photography all the time. I had a camera since I was 7 years old. But
Oh. Yeah.
And I recorded on our communist times, we weren't allowed to have pictures. So I don't have a life. I don't have pictures until about 5-6 years old. And I have a handful of pictures 5 years old when I remember the photographer who took my pictures. And that was the moment when I was like, whoa. And then it was the communist regime fall down and we were able to get cameras in the country. And since second grade, I always had a camera in my hands. And I've just recorded documentary style and images from my high school. I've done so many selfies when I was with that camera. And in Romania, you were never able to do the selfies or what I do, my self-portraits now. So when the quarantine came in Australia with COVID, I was like, okay, I can't shoot. What do I do? I'm like, never done my selfies, you know, I could try it. And then I applied the same technique, the lights, and I've done my selfies. And now people are joking. It's like, yeah, Victoria, you really hate selfies. So then if everything falls down and I can't do photography, then I will do my self-portraits. I will record my traveling stuff. I'll record going to the market. I'll record my son and the his journey in life, and I will teach him photography. So if everything falls to the crack, I still have it, you know. I've just discovered that with photography, it's never a dull moment, because like with mathematics, you have the numbers and you have the numbers. If you love that, that's your oyster. But with photography, you have the light, you have the shadows, you have so many gadgets which every day can change a picture. Then you have the post editing, which you take one image and you transform it in something else. It's never ending. It's like a river.
And you can make videos too. Yeah.
Nowadays, if you don't make the video, you don't exist. So it's photography. It's just like a river. And then you can turn the tap a little bit lower. If you feel a little bit down and you don't want to do it so much, you can take a break. Then you can start again. It's not like an oil, an engine, which you have to run it all the time. You know, you can say, okay, maybe I just need to take a break. The difference with a break in photography and a break in business is in the moment when it gets overwhelmed or you're overworked, overburned, that's the time when you have to go back and say, okay, stay a moment. I've done all these things. What am I doing wrong? What help I need? And how can I reinvigorate my passion? Because we all have times when we work too hard or we have too many clients and you lose your goal and your what was the final end and how you imagine your business. And then you need to say, okay, let's take a break slowly and rethink and exactly like after COVID, when people in photography, they had to rethink their businesses. I think every year or every 2, 3, 5 years, you have to rethink your business and say, okay, how can I spice it up a little bit? Because I've reached the moment where I'm a little bit platonic. And
you plateau,
And then you need to change it a little bit. And the same happens with even relationships, even with marriages, I think is the same thing.
I think it's the same with everything. If you're doing something, right? The same thing for 2 or 3 years every day, you'll get bored. Things will get, you know, we lose the spice. So you have to find a way. You have to continuously evolve and improve, right? And I feel that on training, because I'm in digital skills training, when things get too overwhelmed, I really have to, you know, after this class, I'm not going to take another class. I need to take a breather, you know, and then I write a lot. I do blog a lot. And then when sometimes things get too overwhelming, I just stop and then I'll just take a break. 1 day, 2 days, I'm not going to touch any gadget, you know. So you just have to do that, because if you don't, you'll find yourself too overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And then your creative juices will dry out. It will start to run out.
Yeah. And also saying about blog, I hate blogs.
I love it.
Yeah, but I love video.
So you do video blogs.
Yeah, so I have like hundreds of videos on my computer. I just need to work it on them. And I didn't know this until I forgot about my accent, you know. I couldn't do videos because, you know, looking at your face, hearing your accent is not funny, it's not nice. Blogging wise, I gave it a go, but it's just so hard. it's not my thing. And this is where, if something sucks your energy, and blogs
let it go,
my energy, I had to let it go. I just can't do it. I do my videos, it takes me hours, and I dread writing a blog. I can talk on the video and I give it to somebody else and I'm like, write it up, give it back to me. I can read it. I can do the correction on it and then flick it back to you and then you can post it. It's just, we just need to learn, especially when we are a small business, we need to let go of things. We can't do, in Romania we have a word, and I've been the best example of this. And here they say a word, master of, how is it? A master of none.
Yeah, jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. So I've been jack of all trades. I've done everything in my business, and now I'm starting mentoring. And I'm like, yes, I can train you, man, because I've done this. But I don't want to train you how I've done it, because it's silly, you know? As a newborn photographer, you can't do, as a beginning, you can't do your photography perfect and your editing perfect, because you fail on both if you don't focus on one. If you focus getting it right in the camera, then ask for help for somebody else to edit your picture and to show you how to do it. Because once that you know how to do it by somebody else, you can improve it every day and find your style. Yes. Because if you focus on both how I've done, it will take you longer and you spread thin. Okay, I've been a little bit of smart cookies and I paid people to teach me faster because I didn't want to lose my my time, and I didn't have the time to lose it because I was working the full-time job. So I paid people, okay, how do you do? I pay people for tutorial on editing. I paid people, I went for a 4 days workshop in Italy to learn straight how to pose the baby. Of course, I didn't learn everything in that 4 days. I couldn't. That's why I had the videos, and I went back and I studied those videos. And exactly like you in uni, I say I'm a dork and I like to study and I like to write things. It gets into my head better. I like to see them and then to put them in practice, but I need to read that book, then I go back to the book and then I highlight what I need.
Cribble,
I take the highlights and I put them in the book and I do a resume. So it are three things which I've done here, and some will be like, my husband will be like, that's waste of time. But that's how I learn it, and that's how it sticks in my head. He's a different learner. He goes, he does it, oh, it doesn't work. Dunk. And then he leaves it for many years and now I know. But after that, or he's looking for that perfection. And every day he does a little bit of things and it takes him for 6 months to finish this. And I'm like, that was too long for me. So I'm a little bit like, okay, what can I do now? How can I speed it up? And how can I give it away if I don't like it? But it took me 3 years to arrive to this delegation of the job. And I still don't give away my maternity editing yet. I still hold on it. I still hold the control on that. I gave away my editing on newborn. I show my girl how I edit. She edits in the same way. And I still control that too, because I do my colors and I go after her and I check every pictures. I make little adjustments and I still spend a little bit of time controlling everything, like the QC part.
Yes.
But at least the bulk, I give it to her and I don't have to stress. So now this year I'm starting to find my editor for maternity and see what I can give them and what I can keep to put my spin on things. Blogging, it's a way anyway, I can't do it. Website maintenance, I give it away because it's a waste of my time. I still give the images. My goal is just to do what I love. And shooting, it's what brings me joy and what brings me also money into my business, because if I don't shoot, I don't bring anything. Videos, I really love it. And I love to share with the world what I know. I have no problem with that. And then thinking of opportunities and businesses, again, is my other gift and how I can do that. So I always think, okay, now I have these things, what's next? And next will be mentoring. And then what's next?
Yes.
Then I have a shop for newborn babies and props. What's next? And what can I add? So one thing which I've learned here in Australia is multiple ways of income. And
correct.
And especially in the session, and especially with, if you look, MLMs.
Do they buy? I mean, the props, I was looking at them. Oh.
Yeah. So I buy them from different suppliers. Right now what I've done, so my painted handmade backdrops, I gave them to another company who is printing them and sell them, and I get 10% a percentage from that. It's not a lot. But the goal always was for me to print my own products. So I just need to find or to invest in a printer, or I need to find my printer company where I can print them with a different company and then sell them to photographer. But also you have to think, and what I've learned is from photography, this clever women, they take a product like the buckets, the buckets which you put the buckets in, they haven't been designed to put a baby inside.
Yeah.
No, there was this clever woman or this clever man who took the bucket, put a baby in, like Anne Giddes, which put the babies in shells and all hanging and all this stuff.
In baskets.
Yeah, and then they reinvent the wheel. They said, I can do a niche selling baskets and selling buckets to newborn photographers. And they make a streamable income.
Yeah.
MLM businesses, if you look at them, you're like, what else they can do? They sell their products, but they can teach makeup. You know, there is multiple streams of income in each business. You just need to think outside the square, how they say.
Yeah, outside the box.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's right. That's what I always tell to my students, that when you are passionate about what you're doing, when you love what you do, all these ideas are naturally coming together. It just fits like a puzzle. And then every day you discover more and more things that you do. And then let's say going back 5 or 10 years from now, you see yourself grow into that span of 10 years. And then, hey, when I was in the business for 5 years, I didn't know that, you know, these are possible. And then you just see the possibilities, and then boom, you just realize that you're already there. You've put the puzzles together and you're all set.
What I discover again, and this is the law of attraction, how they say I read the book years ago, I need to read it again, but in the moment when you attract something else comes, and something else comes, you know. In the moment when you're stuck into even my industry, food technology industry, because I'm stuck in my square and I don't want to evolve, nothing comes to me. Nothing.
That's right.
But I tell you, 5 years ago when I was really into it, I got to courses, I got to different people. So I was involved in that. In the moment when you don't get outside the borders and you keep your walls inside, nobody can come in. you know, and you don't give anything out. So you just don't have how to receive anything because you're closed, you know.
That's right.
But in the moment when you, and people will judge you for the fact that you want to receive more or to give more.
Yes.
Who cares? They will judge you that you don't do anything.
They will judge you anyway.
Doesn't matter. But in the moment when you put yourself out there and then opportunity will come to you, then you can say, yeah, I get it, or no, it's not my thing. You know, you can say, but all, more things will be open to you and you get more opportunities and you never know what's behind the walls, you know?
Yes, that's right. And that's the message of this podcast episode, Vicky. That's why I invited you. So to let them know that there is something that you love doing and you can make money out of it. And sometimes it's not easy to, you know, discover what that is. You need to give some time. You need to do a lot of things. And then once you it's like, what do you call it? It's like the process of elimination. You eliminate the things that you don't like and then keep the things that you love. And then from there, you will evolve into this beautiful flower, like a swan, right? Yeah. Your time will come.
Exactly. Totally. It's also, if you think about that picture with the guy digging up in the ground and finding the diamond.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They stop.
It's hard. And then you stop and then you just leave it and say, oh, this didn't work, you know. But for me, one thing which amazed me, especially in photography world, is that I see photographers which their work is not amazing. But man, they have some marketing skills and sales skills that they put me down, you know, they just give me dust in my face. And that shows you that you just have to hone in your skill, you know.
Marketing, sales skills, yes.
Yeah. And you can't survive with that. In any day of life, if you don't, even in conversation and communication, it's the same thing. If you don't hone into communication and how to market yourself and how to sell yourself day to day, walking on the market, like going on the, if I go to the supermarket, I just go in my trainers and I'm tomboy because that's me. And that's how I market myself. But then in my business, I don't do it quite like that. You know, I take my professional side because I know I'm still in my trainers when I do newborns because I can't, or in my jeans.
Move around, yeah.
Yeah, I can't move around and all this stuff. But if I go outside, I don't go and I roll like a soccer player, you know. I'm a tomboy, but I'm still a woman. So you still need to market.
A very beautiful one at that. Oh, yeah. I've seen your photos, your self-portraits. I don't know how you do them. The one with the bike. I so love it.
It's getting easier now with the technology. 1 year ago, the technology was harder, so I had to spend hours to set up one good picture.
Really?
It was not right. You should see my broom. That was my focusing point, a broom or a stick or something. But now with the eye focus and on the new cameras, it's much easier. You just tap on the screen and you go and it's tracking you. So it's easier nowadays, and every year the technology will improve, and probably tomorrow you'll be able to clap your hands and the camera will start alone.
Oh yes, there's a drone right now that it will follow you even if you're running or diving or surfing. It will just follow you wherever you go.
yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And you know, now with the voice, you say, Alexa, just turn off my lights.
Oh yeah.
Probably you'll say, Alexa, turn off my camera. Alexa, shoot my self-portrait to f.28 or whatever. And it will be easier and easier. And this is where the people are coming. Yeah, but the iPhones are doing the work, such a good work. Can I be a photographer nowadays? And I'm like, yes, but still a phone doesn't replace your person.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell to the iPhone how to put his hand or... a robot can be constructed. A robot, if you imagine those boots, it can be a robot behind and say, oh, put your hands here, oh, put your hand there. Then you'll be like in the 80s with the hair like this and glamour like that. But the robot, and I can still see one day a robot scanning your face and saying, okay, your best side is this.
It's not this. That one will work.
I can see this happening, you know.
but the feeling,
yes,
it will never be possible for a robot to give you, yes, you've done it right, or put your chin up, beautiful, that's your great point, or turn your head this way, oh, let's put a little bit of wind in your head. They can't do it.
That's
they will
right.
never be able to put the emotion into the moment, you know?
Yeah.
In the moment when you look at the photograph or the somebody with a great iPhone took an amazing photograph, but when you look to the photograph, you want to think, what do you want to feel? It's not just, oh.
They need the human connection.
Yeah, you look great. But when you look at the photograph, it should be, oh my God, that day. Oh my God, when I hold you in my arms. Oh my God, you just pooed in my arms, but we still took the picture.
Yeah.
You know, a robot can't do that. An iPhone can't do that. Yes, it gets a good quality picture. A camera can get a good quality picture, but the feeling, the emotion, even the smell of that day, you can,
yes.
If you go outdoors, you say, oh my God, it was such a beautiful sunset. I remember the birds singing or something like that. So a robot will never be able to give you that. And that's why I always say they can bring the entire technology, they can scan your eyeballs if they want, but they will never be able to put the emotion in the pictures as a human contact will be able to do.
Yes, and
what I do for my clients, I when somebody calls me and they say, oh, I just want digitals or I just want three images. And I'm like, yes, I can give you three beautiful images. But what do you want? What do you want to feel?
Yes.
Yeah, it's more.
When you look back at the picture 20 years from now, what do you want to see?
Yes. And it's more than, oh, I just went to this guy. Or when you go in the malls, you know, there are all these beautiful companies which they do amazing pictures. But man, I don't really want to feel like just that I stood in line to wait, like Christmas pictures, you know, when you go to the mall. And I do them for my son because he loves Santa, you know, but I still do his pictures here and I still do our yearly family pictures because I don't like the feeling. I've been in the communist regime where I had to stay in line for bread from 3 o'clock in the morning to wait for my portion of black bread. I've been there, I've done it, you know. Or now with coronavirus where people are pushing you in the same path. I don't want to be that person, you know. I don't want to stay in line and wait for somebody to give me a cup of water because this is what somebody says. I want to be free. I want to go to see the water from New Zealand. I want to go to see something else and to do my spin on it. So this is what I offer to my clients. I tell them, what do you want? How do you want to see yourself? It's, yes, it's my skills and I will put my spin around things, but what do you want to feel when you look back into it? If you want to be fast and rushed up and then you want to go to the supermarket and then you want to go to a school, that's perfect. Then I'm not right for you. You have to go to that person who can do a really big flood of people. You take what you need, you go next. And if that's you, it's perfect. But with me, it doesn't work like that, you know?
Yeah. And you really have to find the people, the right people.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need to attract them. It needs to be coming from both sides.
And it's not easy to attract them until you don't know what you want and until you don't discover, and it's so much work involved arrive to the conclusion that I need maybe only 10 people instead of 200 people, but it takes time, and all this happens only in evolution and happens only in the moment when you learn more about you learn more about business, you learn more about people,
learn more about them,
you learn more, full stop.
Yes, that's correct. Because until you are very sure about the solution or about because you have this skill and you have to match that skill into other people's problems in order to solve their problems. And until you understand what their problems are and how your skill can solve their problems or make their lives easier, make them more happier, then you won't be able to attract the right kind of people.
Yeah, and you can't see that. It took me because I blame it on my English and my different culture, because in Romania, photography is nowhere near what people are believing in photography here in Australia. And it took me years to find the value and to find what do I offer them in the end, you know?
That's right.
pictures, because I was exactly like other people. It's just a picture, you know. No, I can do it myself, but that doesn't mean that you can do it. If my husband can drive trucks, I can't. I really can't drive a 12-ton truck. That means I need to hire a company to come and move my furniture or something like that. Or I need to hire him. So until you don't realize that you're in need and that you have something to offer, I think this is the hardest part in business. Finding your value.
Yes.
It's a lot. And finding your purpose. What's your purpose and what's your solution and what do you offer? And coming from a different culture for me was like so hard to find it. It took me like 3 years to find, and not to stress about that. If somebody doesn't hire me, not to be like,
it hurts.
Yes, or, I really need the clients, or I really need the clients, you know, and not to hunt them so much and to grab more of them and to say yes, yes, yes to everyone. So now I'm like, yes, no, no problem. Next.
Yes, yes.
But it takes time, and I still have to work on so many things, and sales and marketing, and it's never ending, you know, but it's exciting, you know.
Yes, it is. And as much as I would want to keep talking to you, I love what I learned about photography and how passionate you are and how you discovered that the newborn and family photography is your thing. I hope other people learned as well from this episode. And I know that they will feel your excitement. They will feel your emotion, the passion that's coming from you. And I hope that someday we can look back in this episode and maybe do it again for another, you know, for another topic. And no, I wish you... Yeah, I wish you happiness and success in business, Vicky, because I've seen you grow from, like, was it 1 or 2 years ago when we last talked?
2 years ago, yes.
Yes, and then I've seen how you were doing social media every day, and I hope that you will just keep on, you know, thriving in business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vicky. All right, bye, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you.